You are listening to a broadcast from LifePoint Community Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we hope and pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen.
Well, thank you so much for being here. If this is your first time with us, I want to welcome you. We're so happy that you're here. And we're in a very short series together called God's Wisdom for Everyday Life, just looking at some of the high points throughout the book of Proverbs. And today's message is probably not going to be a whiz-bang kind of message that when you get home, you pick up the phone and you call 18 people and say, you have got to get online and hear this message. Because I know you do that every other week. So I'm going to give you this week off. Proverbs is just a remarkably practical book. And today's message is just simply going to be a very practical message. I want to talk to you this morning about watching our words. Now, I can guarantee you this. Not all the messages that I bring are going to touch every one of us. But I can guarantee you that today's message is going to be right for every single person in this room. Because there's nobody here who has their tongue under complete control. Every one of us has slipped in this area, have we not? Can I see a show of hands? Can I get a little bit of help this morning? Every one of us has struggled in this area. We continue to struggle at times in this area. And so the book of Proverbs comes along and other places in the Bible, and they come and share some very, very practical words for us to watch what we say, to be very, very careful of our words. How many of you know that your words can get you into trouble? Really? That's great. So you've been there too, right? You've said some things, and after they've come out of your mouth, you just wish you could rewind time and go back and get them. But as the old proverb says, once the arrow has left the bow, it cannot be retrieved in mid-flight. Words. Proverbs says that words have the power of life and death. The encouraging thing to me is that words have the power of life. That's what I get out of that verse. Words are dangerous. They have the power of death. But folks, our words have the power of life. We have to guard our words, though, because they can get us into serious trouble before we know it. I can't help but think of the young grocery store clerk who was working in the produce section one day, and this woman came up to him, this elderly woman, and she said, young man, I'd like to buy half an apple. And he kind of looked at her and said, ma'am, you can't buy half an apple. She said, well, that's really all I need. I'd really like to buy half an apple. Would you mind asking your manager if I could? So he sort of rolled his eyes a little bit and turned, and his manager was right over there. And he walked over to the manager. He said, hey, boss, there's some old bag over there who wants to know if she can buy half an apple. And at that moment, to his horror, he saw out of the corner of his eye that that woman had followed him over there, and she was standing right beside him. And so thinking quickly on his feet, he said, and this lovely lady would like to buy the other half. Words, dangerous sometimes. Someone once said it takes a baby about 2 years to learn to talk and about 50 years to learn to keep his mouth shut. No wonder the psalmist wrote in Psalm 141, verse 3, set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about our words, a lot to say. If you've been reading with us through the book of Proverbs, reading one proverb a day, the proverb that corresponds with the day of the month, you've already run into a lot of verses, a lot of proverbs about guarding our tongue, about speaking wisely. I want to share with you today three very simple things, three very simple aspects of speaking wisely. Number one, we must say the right thing. In Proverbs 21:23, the Bible says, "He who guards his mouth and his tongue," listen to this, "keeps himself from calamity." I will tell you this without any exaggeration. I know people whose words over the course of time, I'm not talking about one incident, but whose words, whose careless words over the course of time have wrecked their lives, destroyed their lives. The Bible says, "He who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity." The word guard there means to watch over, to be careful, to pay attention to. And you might say, well, you know, is guarding my words really that big of a deal? Well, let's take a look at what Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18 says. It says, on the opposite side of this coin, it says, "Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." That word "reckless" is the opposite of the word "guard." It means carelessly, flippantly, thoughtlessly throwing words out there. You know what this picture is of? It's like a man taking a sharp sword and walking through a crowd of people and just thoughtlessly, carelessly thrusting that sword in every direction as he walks through that crowd. You know what's going to happen, guys? People are going to get hurt. And that's exactly what the Bible is saying about careless, reckless words. They pierce like a sword. There was a billboard one time that said simply this: "Words hit harder than a fist." That's the truth. Words are powerfully dangerous if we do not guard our mouth. And the Bible warns us about this. Proverbs, again and again and again, warns about guarding our words. And there are a lot of different topics that it covers. Two of the things that it warns us against about speaking and saying the right thing is one of them is lying. The Bible warns again and again about this. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 9, it says, "A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who pours out lies will perish." Proverbs chapter 6, I didn't put it up on the screens because it's a long section, verses 16 through 19. It says this: "There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him." That's, if you read that in the Bible, that's just sort of an old way of them trying to really emphasize their point. They didn't have bold font, they didn't have italics, they didn't have underlining back then. So that was a way for them to really catch your attention as they were writing this. "There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him." And in this list of seven things that the Lord hates, lying is mentioned twice. That blew my mind. Seven things that are an abomination to the Lord, and he mentions lying twice in the list? As followers of Jesus Christ, you and I are to be people who speak the truth. We need to let our yes be yes. We need to let our no be no. One of the other things that the Bible warns against is gossip. Gossip is saying behind a person's back what you would never say to his or her face. And I'll tell you, church, gossip is one of the most dangerous tools of the enemy to destroy churches. I want to make sure everybody heard exactly what I said. Gossip is not just a dangerous tool in the enemy to disrupt churches. Gossip is used by the enemy to destroy churches. As if I needed an illustration of this, just 2 to 3 weeks ago, I heard the heartbreaking news that a pastor here in town, I won't mention his name, I won't mention the church, most of you would not know him anyway, a great man of God, is now facing a church that is completely shattered and shipwrecked because of gossip that got started. This is a good man, a godly man. I saw him on Friday. I shook his hand, I looked in his eyes, and I saw the utter devastation in his face as I talked to him. A good pastor who loves his people, who teaches the Word of God. Gossip got started in that church. And it just began this undercurrent through the church, and it has now split the church in two. Gossip can easily get started in subtle ways because it's often prefaced by things like, I don't believe this is true, but... Or I'm just telling you this because I know it won't go any further. Or I'm telling you this so you can pray about it. Now, there are times, hopefully many times, when we go to one another and we say, man, I need you to help me pray over something. But folks, we better be careful. I'm just telling you, we better be careful. Satan will use this. You see something in somebody else's life and you go to another person and you're just dying to tell them. And the only way you can think of is to say, hey, man, I want you to pray for old so-and-so because here's what I saw him do. Here's what I heard her say. One writer said that sort of language among God's people is a tool of hell, and it leaves flaming fires in its wake. Proverbs 17:9 says, he who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. It doesn't mean we blindly cover over everything, but look, I don't have time to get into this verse. I wish I did. But when you see your brother or sister struggling with something or when they fail at something, it means you don't go out and publish it to the church. You go to them. It's like covering them over with your cloak and saying, we're in this together. I want to help you through this. It's a powerful verse. Proverbs 20, verse 19 says, a gossip betrays a confidence. So avoid a man who talks too much. If you have your Bibles, turn quickly to James chapter 3. I want to show you one thing before we move on. James chapter 3, right near the end of your Bible. And I'm only going to read a few verses here for time's sake, but what I'd like you to do this week is to go back and read James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12 sometime this week. James 3, 1 through 12. And just let that whole passage sink into you as you chew on what we're talking about today, about the power of our words. But here's what James chapter 3, verses 3 through 6 tell us. Listen carefully to this. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Verse 5. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Wow. There's a Sunday sermon that'll make you feel happy. I mean, James was laying it on there. He said, folks, Christians, listen to me. You better be careful. That little member of your body called your tongue has the power to start a fire that will burn through and devastate people's lives, including your own. When you see those forest fires out in California that just rage through thousands and thousands of acres and cause hundreds of millions of dollars of damage and destruction to homes and property and forest, they go back and they try to trace the origins. And most times, those huge fires were started by a tiny, tiny spark of fire, a cigarette butt carelessly flicked out the window. Well, that's not gonna hurt anything. Just a little cigarette butt. Or a match that somebody lit camping and just tossed the match aside. Just a little thing. But it started a roaring fire. We must say the right thing. Number two, we must say the right thing in the right way. Do you know it's possible to say the right thing and yet say it in the wrong way? Anybody still with me? You ever been there? You ever done that one? You say the right thing, but it just comes out in completely the wrong way. We have to guard against that. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. Proverbs 15:4 says, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. Proverbs 15:28. I love this verse. It says, the heart of the righteous weighs its answers, or ponders, or studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. All those verses are talking about not just the importance of what we say, but how we say it. Sometimes what we have to say may be valuable, but it loses its value because it's not said in the right way. Guys, even the truth can be spoken in the wrong way. It's easy for the truth, even the very word of God, to be spoken to someone in the wrong way. It's easy for us as parents to know that we need to speak a truth into the life of our children. But because we're busy, or we're tired, or we don't feel good, or we're frustrated about something, we say that thing to them and it comes out in the wrong way. And it crushes their spirit. Oh, may God help all of us parents who struggle with this, who want to be godly parents with our children. May God help us to learn to say the right thing in the right way. Young people, let me address you for a moment. This is just as easy for it to happen in your life with your parents. I believe the young people in this church are godly young people, and I'm so thankful for that. And I believe the young people in this church have a deep desire for their lives to be used by God. And I tell you, that just fires me up. I'm so thankful for that. But young people, how often do you have to fight the temptation to speak to your parents in a way that is ungodly, that is unbecoming? Honey, have you taken out the trash? Yes, I've taken out the trash. What's the right thing? It's in the wrong way. Parents and children, we're all guilty of this. We need to guard our attitude. Our words flow out of our inner being, of our heart, the Bible says. And if we're rotten inside, rotten things are going to come out. But even when we're living for the Lord, when we love Him, when we're trying to pursue Him, there are moments in our life when we just don't guard our words and they come out in the wrong way and people get hurt. Listen to what Colossians 4 verse 6 says. This is a fantastic verse. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. You go, what in the world does that mean? You ever sat down to a meal and you tasted this gorgeous looking food, but it just was bland? Maybe they forgot to put the right spices in or whatever, and you take a little bit of salt and you add a little bit of salt to that food and you taste it again and you go, oh, wow. Now the flavor just comes out. It's like boiled squash, right? I mean, that's super exciting food. My mom used to cook that for us a lot on the mission field. Boiled squash. Woo, let's invite the neighbors over. Right? But even salt can help boiled squash. Hallelujah, it can. Believe me, I've eaten a lot of it. And the Bible is saying that, you know, our words need to be full of grace. There's a whole message right there. Full of grace. Are we a grace-oriented church? Or are we a legalistic-oriented church? Full of grace, seasoned with salt. Man, that's powerful. Our words should be that way, just the right touch, so that we know how to answer everyone. Ephesians 4:15 says, speak the truth, period. Is that what it says? No, it says speak the truth in love. That's saying the right thing in the right way. Finally, number three, we must say the right thing in the right way at the right time. It is possible to say the right thing in the right way and just say it at the wrong time. I mean, totally inappropriate time to say something. You ever seen those Southwest Airlines commercials? Want to get away? You ever have one of those moments? You say something at the wrong time and you just want to vanish. You just wish you could disappear. Proverbs 15:23 says, a man finds joy in giving an apt reply. That means fitting or appropriate or timely. A man finds joy in giving an apt reply. And how good is a timely word? You ever had someone speak something into your life and you go, man, that was the right time for that. I mean, I needed to hear those words right at this very moment in my life. And it was an incredible blessing to you. When does that kind of thing happen? It happens when I'm allowing God to control the words that come out of my mouth. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word aptly spoken or timely spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. The right word in the right way at the right time is a beautiful thing. I touched on this briefly last week, that sometimes you and I get the urge to play the Holy Spirit in other people's lives. And we'll see something in a brother's life or a sister's life, and we'll make the mistake of racing ahead of God. And instead of waiting on God, we'll rush ahead of God and we'll go charging into that person's life and we'll feel the need that we need to say something to them right now, point it out to them right now. And oftentimes, we're ahead of God and those words bring hurt and they crush a person. Now, I will tell you this, there are times when God will prompt us to say something to a brother or sister. But folks, I want to tell you, we better have prayed about it. We better have taken time to think it through before we rush in and we try to play the Holy Spirit in people's lives. Timing is critical. Do we really know the full situation in that other person's life? Do we really know everything they're going through? Do we know everything they're facing right now that's brought them to this point in their life? Probably not. The right thing in the right way at the right time. Here's a simple rule. Just because something can be said doesn't mean it should be said. One writer wrote, among my most prized possessions are words that I have never spoken. Isn't that great? You get to the end of your life and you look back and you go, thank you, Lord, for shutting my mouth. I learned this lesson as a young teenager in a profound moment. I'll never forget it. I know I talk a lot about my family. That's kind of the context that I have to speak from. It's where I grew up. You know, if you get tired of it, I'm sorry, let me know, and I'll buy you an ice cream or something. I don't know. We'll patch it over. Growing up, I had the privilege of, and you know, it's weird because I think back as a teenager, why would a teenager want to do this? But I traveled a lot with my dad when he traveled to preach in different places. You know, on weekends when I could, or when I wasn't in school, whatever, I would love to travel with him. I mean, that's just weird, right? What teenage boy would want to go sit and hear sermons all the time? I'm a freak, I know, I admit that. But I remember one time I was traveling with my dad. I want you guys to get this. I really want you to hear this. We traveled to this church. My dad was to speak during the main service, but we got there an hour early so that we could go to Sunday school. We showed up at the church building. We went in. We found a class. My dad and I, you know, walked in. He hobbled in on his crutches and sat down, and we sat there. And this young guy got up to teach the Sunday school lesson. I don't know how old he was, probably late 20s, something like that. And I'll tell you, this dear brother stumbled and bumbled his way through that Sunday school lesson. Obviously, he hadn't been doing it long. And I mean, he was trying his best, and there were some good truths that came out. But even as a teenager, I remember sitting there thinking, well, that's not right. I mean, there was no gross error. There was no, you know, bad doctrine or anything. He was just kind of getting some things mixed up and misquoting some verses. And I felt so bad for the guy. I will never forget what happened at the end of the class, as long as I live. It taught me this truth about saying the right thing in the right way at the right time better than I could have ever learned it in any other way. My dad, as you know, I mean, this guy knows the Bible better than any human being I have ever met in my life, bar none. He spent his life studying the Bible. The whole time you've been growing up, every day, my dad's been studying the Bible, teaching the Bible. You can name a chapter in the Bible, and he can tell you the characters, their history, the customs, the land, the time. Just, it's remarkable. So here's this man sitting there with this wealth of knowledge about the Bible. And he's listening to this guy teach a Sunday school class who's just flubbing it up. My dad got up, he, you know, popped his leg braces, and he walked over on his crutches to that young man. I'll never forget this. I walked with him. He could have gone over to him and said, now listen, young fella, let me help you with a thing or two. I've got several doctorates, and I know the Bible quite well, and I just want to point out some things to you that you got wrong today. You know what he did? He walked over, he put his hand on that young man's shoulder, and he said, great job, young man, keep at it. Never forget it. Could he have corrected him? Oh, absolutely. Are there times when we need to get with somebody and work things out? Absolutely. But that was an example of saying the right thing in the right way at the right time. Well, I had a few more things to say. I'm just going to wrap it up right there. I think that's probably enough for us to chew on today. I wonder if there is any area, this matter of our words, where you could pinpoint today and say, boy, that's a place where I'm struggling. I'm not really struggling with lying. Maybe I'm not really struggling with gossip. But I'd be willing to say that every one of us in this room today could pinpoint a place in our life where we say, boy, I need God to do some work in me on that. Wonder what that is for you. You go, well, how do I do all this? I mean, how do I guard my words? How do I become that kind of person that, you know, speaks godly wisdom and is careful? Do I just try harder? Yeah, you just try harder. No, you don't just try harder. You don't fix your words by trying to fix your words. What comes out of our mouth is the overflow of what's inside. If you want to fix this problem for you, it begins by deepening your relationship with God. That's where it starts. Are you soaking in the Proverbs into your life? Are you letting God's Word renew your mind over and over and over again? We want to become men and women who are characterized that by the fact that when we open our mouth, God's wisdom comes out. It's the right thing in the right way at the right time. Let's pray. I wonder if your prayer this morning is with that of the psalmist who said, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And I wonder as you sit here in just this moment of quietness and reflection, you know, before we race off out into the mad pace of life again, I wonder if there's anything that God is saying to you right now. If he is, would you do business with God right now? Maybe there's somebody you need to talk to in this fellowship. Maybe there's a phone call you need to make or a letter you need to write to say, man, I'm sorry. I wronged you with my words, and I need to apologize for that. Maybe children to parents, maybe parents to children. But church, I want to encourage you. As James says, we all stumble at this. We all do. And yet, may we encourage each other on this journey to be the kind of men and women whose speech, whose words are full of grace. Oh, I hope you'll let that phrase sink into your heart this week. That we're the kind of men and women, boys and girls, whose words are full of grace and seasoned with salt so that we may know how to answer everyone. Father, we love you and we thank you for your word. Oh, where would we be without your word? Thank you, Lord, for your word that comes to us at the right time, and it gently corrects us. It cheers us on. It challenges us. It calls us to become more like Christ every time we read it. I thank you for that, Father. I pray that this church body would be known as a group of people in Greenville who have words that are full of grace and seasoned with salt. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Finally free.
You've been listening to a broadcast from LifePoint Community Church in Greenville, South Carolina. More teaching resources are available from our website at lifepointcc.org. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you today, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us directly from our website, or you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Thanks again for listening. May God bless you.